Okay. If you don't know me, my name is Graham Wilkins. I'm involved in several areas of the church, and it's been my privilege to, particularly in recent months, be part of the MAP group, the Mission Action Plan group. In case you don't know it, it's a group of 8 people from the congregation, 4 men, 4 women. I have to admit, I'm the oldest, and I'm probably twice the age of the youngest in the group. So it's quite a wide range of people, and we've been listening to what God is saying about St. Mark's, who we are, what we should be, where we should be going. Listening to the congregation, spending time listening to God as a church. We spent a week in May just listening and hearing what the community and other church leaders have to say. And over lots of times together, we've tried to discern in a few words what it is that makes St. Mark's what it is. What is the DNA of this church? And what is God calling us to do? How does he want us to be? Because it's his church, not ours. Such has also recently been, or last week anyway, was looking, what is church? And we must be a group of people who follow Jesus. That's what churches are. If we're not following where God is leading, then we're pretty much wasting our time getting together, aren't we? Because that's what he's called us for. So, living for Jesus, loving Gillingham, learning together, that's what Jesus is calling us to do. And that's what he would do here. Jesus lived for God. He loved the place where he was and everybody in it. And he taught his disciples. So we're called to follow Jesus. There are 9 clear separate occasions in the Gospels where Jesus says to someone, follow me. When people said they wanted to be with Jesus, he said, follow me. What did he mean by follow me? Did it mean kind of watch from a distance? Join in when you feel like it? Just come along for the ride? See how you like it? It certainly wasn't like that. When he called his 12 disciples, what did they understand by him saying to them, follow me? They spent their time living with Jesus. They ate together, slept together, were taught by him. It was a total immersion together. And to really understand how the disciples understood follow me, and maybe what Jesus means when he says to us, follow me, I think we have to have an understanding of how Jesus was viewed by those around him. Several times in the Gospels, we see people calling Jesus rabbi. Sometimes it's interpreted in the English version as teacher. Jesus clearly acted and spoke like a rabbi. And a rabbi isn't just a teacher. He's much more the level that we'd think of as a professor of theology, the scriptures, philosophy, and debating. To be a rabbi was not an easy thing. They were not that common. Chris, do you want to put up the projection slide for me? Just a quick whip through what it took to be a rabbi. In the time of Jesus, particularly in the area where Jesus was brought up, male children, when they were 5, particularly, would study the first 5 books of our Old Testament, the Torah. They'd learn them by rote. They should be able to quote most of those books. From the ages of 5 to 10, they learnt the rest of what we would call the Old Testament. They learnt the oral traditions of the Jewish people, and they learnt how to debate. This would continue until they were 14. We don't know if Jesus followed the usual route for a rabbi in training at that point, or whether he did what most children would have done, which is follow their parents in their trades. But if you wanted to be a rabbi, at that age, you would find a rabbi that you really believed in, someone you really wanted to be like, and you would ask to study underneath them. And the rabbi chose whether you could or not. And they could be very picky. And they would test you. And if he accepted you, it would be called taking the rabbi's yoke. They wouldn't just turn up at rabbi school. They would live with the rabbi. They would leave their home, their families, their friends, and they would live with the rabbi every minute of every day. If it all worked well and the rabbi accepted them as a student, once they were 18, they would continue. If he thought they weren't really the right stuff, then they would leave the rabbi's tuition. You think it takes a long time to train as a doctor. But the student was called a Talmid. He would be training under that rabbi, living with him, going everywhere with him, eating with him, being taught, debating, until he was 30 years old. And only then would he be a rabbi and start teaching in schools and elsewhere. This relationship of the rabbi and his Talmid was incredibly close. They continuously conversed, studied, discussed together, discussed with others. And the student was expected not just to learn from the rabbi, but to copy him in every way. So if the rabbi regularly scratched his nose, that's what he would do. He would copy, he would mimic everything about the rabbi. If the rabbi traveled, his students would travel with him. There is a prayer from the Mishnah that says, "May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi." That's because in those days it was pretty dusty in Israel, and when they walked anywhere, the dust would be kicked up. And the idea is that the student would be so close to the rabbi, he gets covered in the dust from the rabbi walking with him. This is the level of commitment that Jesus' disciples would have understood when Jesus said to them, "Follow me." An absolute total commitment to living the way Jesus lived. To be absorbed by everything about him. And if you remember in the Gospels, we read that twice the disciples were sent out to do the things that Jesus did. To heal and to teach and to preach that the gospel that the kingdom was near. In the readings that David read to us, we have occasions when Jesus says, "Follow me." In the first one, the Matthew 8 reading, do you want to put that up, Chris, for us? Thanks. It's assumed that the two people that Jesus spoke to probably didn't end up following Jesus because of what he said to them. And his responses to their request to follow him seem to be a bit harsh. Jesus always seemed to know what was behind people's questions. He was never fooled. And so he obviously responded appropriately to what they said. I wonder with the teacher of the law whether he thought he might be onto a cushy number by following Jesus, because Jesus was supported by some wealthy women. And maybe Jesus pointed out, I have nothing. I don't have anywhere to live. It's not what you think it is. It's not going to be easy. The second potential disciple probably didn't have a recent bereavement. It was common in the culture for the son to stay with the family until the father died so he could bury him. It was also a custom that when someone in the family died, they would be put in a tomb, buried, and a year later, they'd dig them up again, put their bones in a special casket. So it could have been either that this guy was saying that he would follow Jesus when his father had died, or when the time has come for him to dig up the bones. Either way, he was saying, I'm going to follow you, Jesus, but it's not convenient now. This is not quite the time. He was making a commitment, but it was a bit vague. It was in the future. Jesus was saying, it's now or it's never. You don't pick and choose the bits that you like about me. He wanted total commitment, now, no conditions. Jesus took the idea of people following him very seriously. It wasn't an easy thing. And yet he seems to have chosen people who are not the kind of characters that you'd expect. This wasn't the normal rabbi-Talmud relationship at all. Because they didn't ask to follow, his 12 disciples didn't ask to follow him. He said to them, follow me. He chose them. They weren't well-educated. Most of them, that's true. And Peter, more than anyone else, would have been considered an inappropriate choice. And yet, as you said this morning, the first thing Jesus is recorded as saying to Peter is, follow me. And the last thing he's recorded as saying to Peter is, follow me. So in the John reading, we listen in on the conversation with Jesus and Peter. And Jesus makes Peter reaffirm his love for Jesus. And how hard is it, do you think, when Jesus says to Peter, basically he says, you're going to suffer and you're going to die in an unpleasant way. And then he says to him, follow me. He's saying, this is going to cost you. You're going to have to show your love. Matthew 10:38, Jesus says, anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And that challenges to us. Our culture is very much moving to pick and choose. Take the bits you like. Have your own opinions. See things your own way. There are no rights, wrongs. That's not how Jesus sees it. This isn't old-fashioned. This is now and future. God doesn't change. If we're committed to Jesus, we're committed to him. Jesus challenges for us to lay down some of those things that we don't want to let go of. And to take some responsibilities that we don't want to or that are inconvenient. To walk in the dust of our rabbi is to get dirty. We're in danger of cultivating a kind of Christianity that is easy and comfortable and which suits us. That's not where Jesus is. When Jesus says, follow me, he's saying, live like me, live with me. I'm your focus. So we need to hear his voice, follow it, copy it, live it, because that's his call. Struck me when I was preparing this talk that I've got to live up to that as well. You know, it's not just theory. It's not something nice to say. It's something that we have to live. And if the preacher isn't challenged by the message he brings, he hasn't got a message. And if the congregation is going to be challenged, then the preacher has to be challenged as well. When we're looking at living for Jesus, loving Gillingham, learning together, this is a commitment. God is calling us to something, and it's not the same as before. And we may have to make choices. And Jesus wants our choice to be him and just him. Shall we pray? Lord God, we thank you for the gift of your Son Jesus, for his example, for his commitment, for being prepared to be crucified for us. Please help us not to take this lightly and not to see you as an add-on, something that's just a small part of our lives. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would fill us. That we would sense your presence and seek it all day, every day. That the thing we want above all is to hear your voice and to serve you. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus himself. Amen.